I'm Derek Russell.
And I'm Brad Locke, and this is The Memo.
A gathering of all things Northeast Mississippi, brought to you by The Daily Journal and DJournal.com.
Welcome into another episode of The Memo, and welcome to a new week. It is Monday, January the 11th, 2016, and I'm Brad Locke, your host, along with today's special guest co-host, Lauren Wood. Hello, Lauren.
Hey, Brad.
How are you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm all right for Monday.
I can't get my mic stand to sit straight.
Chris Kiefer. Chris Kiefer to the rescue.
Yay, thank you.
There we go.
Sorry, I'm a klutz.
There we go. Derek Russell not going to be with us for the next, what, 2 weeks? Yeah, he's going on vacation or something.
He's
Disney World, I think.
Yeah, jealous. Yeah,
taking the family down there. I went there 2013, summer of 2013. It was a lot of walking. Yeah, a lot.
I went there, like I said the other day, it was right after. The only time I've been, it was right after the Atlanta Olympics. So there was people from across the world who were there for the Olympics getting their Disney World in. So it was crowded.
One thing I remember, it was crowded when we went because we went like July 4th week in 2013. And I remember a bunch of Brazilian teenage girls running around singing the entire time. That was a common thing.
Oh, interesting.
It was interesting.
I went to Disneyland.
I went there when I was for my fourth. Really, this year?
Well, last year.
What's it like now? Because I went when I was four. My fourth birthday, we flew out there.
I the same when I was like that.
I liked Disneyland. I've been to Disney World many times.
Okay.
And since Disney World was the one I started with,
yeah,
I'm definitely partial because it's bigger.
Well, yeah, it is.
You can walk the whole Disneyland park in 10, 15 minutes. Just walk around. Boop, done.
Is it only one? Disneyland is only one park?
They have the Magic Kingdom, and then across the way they have California Adventures. So it's like two parks entrances. But it's still it's the same layout as Disney World, yeah, or like the Magic Kingdom at Disney World. So there's like Tomorrowland and the, you know, different. But it's just like smaller, very condensed.
Okay.
And it's a lot shorter.
I don't remember much about it except that I was terrified of Pluto for some reason.
Oh,
I was four. Here's a giant dog. Mm. What are you going to do?
Yeah.
Probably gave me nightmares. I don't remember much besides that. And I saw Mickey Mouse. So that's about it. So,
anyways, love Disney World.
Yeah.
Very jealous.
Yeah.
Derek's going to be there.
Yeah, there. And I don't know what else he's doing, but he's going to be gone for like 2 weeks. So it's going to be me and Lauren or me and somebody. I'm sure Emma Kent will fill in.
Probably will. I think Leslie Chris is going to fill
Leslie
in some
Chris.
Too.
Oh,
yeah.
Fun.
Yeah.
That'd be nice.
Yay.
Yeah. Okay. So anyway, it's a new week. Big game tonight, Lauren.
Yeah.
Which is of concern at your house.
Meh.
Yeah.
I guess go Clemson.
Well, really? How's Justin, your boyfriend, the huge Alabama fan, feel about that?
Oh, he doesn't care because he knows that they're going to win. So.
He's missing our church league basketball game tonight to watch this game.
Oh, yes. He's already prepared everybody.
Like, where's your dedication to the team?
Who's going
to
hit the winning shot today?
I know, exactly. Justin hit the game winner last week.
The whole team understood. They were like, yeah.
Mm. Yeah, yeah. I know. But anyway.
But more importantly, the Powerball is huge.
Oh, yeah. It's like
that everyone is talking about it.
Yeah, $1.3 billion is what it's up to. I haven't bought a ticket. I'm not going to. Mm-hmm. Drive to Tennessee to do that.
I asked my dad to buy tickets for me and or Justin, and he was like, Lauren, if I win, you win. So I was like, okay, Dad.
There you go.
So Justin's kind of blowing up on the show today. He and I looked up last week what the odds were. Then this was on Friday, so they'd be even longer now.
Yeah.
But the odds on Friday were exactly, it was 1 to 290 million.
Yeah.
Which would mean if you took every person in the United States and Canada and wrote their name on a list, it was your odds that you'd be the one name pulled.
Yeah, but yeah,
so
you have a shot.
So you're saying I have a chance.
So now maybe you got to throw in Mexico too. And
yeah, yeah.
North America.
And England. And yes.
So when's the next drawing? Do they do this every week, every month?
It's every like Wednesday and Saturday, I think.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay. So the madness continues this week with people buying tickets.
Yep. Totally.
Well, if you're gonna waste your money, I guess that's as good a way as any.
That's the thing. This is bringing out, like John Pitts was saying this earlier. He's like, this is bringing out all the casual lottery ticket. Like me, I'm a perfect example of this. Like, Unless it gets really big, I'm like, I'm not going to go buy a ticket every week. But when it gets really big, I'm like, oh, sure, I'll buy like a couple tickets, you know. So that's what majority of this
is. Someone has to win it at some point.
Exactly.
Someone will. Yeah. And that person will have had the same odds as everybody else of winning it.
$1 million ticket won in Michigan, but it was on the west side. My family lives on the east side of the state. I was so like, class. Oh, man. I would take $1 million.
I could handle that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, but by the time they take out taxes and they
said this one, I would take $1,000 minus take away taxes. So yeah. I would anything extra than what I had originally, I would be happy with.
$10, I'll take it.
I want a shirt like that, Lauren. People can't see because it's a podcast. The thing, the sleeves that go down on your hand and wrap around inside.
Cuddle Duds at Walmart.
Really?
Yeah, and I was.
Clothes shop at Walmart anymore.
And it's like. Really thin but fleece.
Yeah, but I just like the way it comes around your thumb and keeps the sleeves.
I figure it's gonna be perfect for a football game, so I bought it.
Okay.
I bought it after football season this year, but
very stylish too.
Thanks. You know.
Oh boy! All right. Well, we got a good show today. But Lauren is the stylish one among this group. Trust me. We got Scott Morris coming on in a minute to talk about this new event that's pretty cool, Comic-Con. Coming to Tupelo.
I'm going to go.
That looks fun. We'll have an update from Bobby Harrison on the legislature, getting their session kicked into high gear, perhaps, this week. Lauren, I'm going to talk with you about this In Focus photo essay.
Yes.
That was in today's paper. And we'll have crime reports.
Crime reports.
Crime reports. So stay tuned for all that. What?
Intro for that.
Yeah, we still need some music for that, Chris. Need to get on that. Okay. First up on the show, M. Scott Morris. Welcome back, sir. How are you today?
See, obviously, I've been making this podcast great again. This is the first time I've earned my way to the first slot.
Oh, that's it. You're moving on up there, Scott.
I'm moving up. I'm like, I'm on the lead.
You are. You're the lead to the podcast.
You'll get comfortable.
Is he allowed to talk?
Yes, because he can turn off our mics.
Okay.
So, yeah. Anyway, you had a story over the weekend we want to talk about, Scott. Pretty cool deal. The first Tupelo Comic Con. Comic convention, for those who don't know what that means. Tupelo is hosting one March the 5th.
March 5th at the Link Center.
So this is something, at the Link Center. So if you don't know what this is, Scott, just to explain to maybe people who aren't quite informed on what this is.
Well, there's a culture of people. They love science fiction, fantasy, they love comic books. They like to dress up as superheroes or as villains or as, I imagine, now after David Bowie has died, maybe someone would dress as a David Bowie incarnation. They call that cosplay.
Yep.
And there's people who like Star Wars and who love Star Wars, who love Star Trek, who get into these types of things. It's the big one is the San Diego Comic-Con people have probably heard of. Apparently, the guys who are organizing this got a little bit of inspiration from the Geek Gathering. The Geek Gathering over in Sheffield, Alabama.
Okay.
And so basically, there are a fair amount of people. In fact, we did a story in the paper. Thomas Willis shot that with cosplay kids at the library. School.
Remember that, yeah.
And that was fun. And they're all, you know, the creative people. They make their costumes. They have fun. I didn't know what the name of the group was. The guy I talked to the other day, Kyle Dunnigan, said that they're the Ministry of Silly Suits. That's a great name.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
And so they're people with senses of humor. They're people who like anime, people who, kids, adults, who like models. And Kyle Dunnigan, who I spoke to for the story, I mean, he didn't mind using words like nerd and geek. And my daughter I'm a geek, I'm not a nerd. And then someday she's a nerd, not a geek. I'm not sure how it goes. But
it's going to be interchangeable. It depends, though.
Like, if you've ever watched a Doctor Who episode, you could go.
I mean, yeah, well, heck, I've done that. So.
Yeah, so you qualify.
Who. Okay.
And apparently you don't have to dress up to go. You can just walk around and be a civilian amongst all the
That's
folks.
That's what I would do. I'm not secure enough in myself.
Oh, I'm going to dress up.
Oh, I can't wait to see that.
I'm a Harry Potter character.
Nice. I think Lauren's more secure in her masculinity than you are.
I want to back away from the mic. No. It's like nerd and geek. This. Do what?
I'm really excited about this.
You are cool.
Well, I think there's a community here, and there hasn't really been anything like that in this area. And I think it's going to have a good draw.
And I should have mentioned also gamers, like people who do D&D. I guess if you've ever played D&D, you probably know.
I've never played it.
You'd be happy to go. I never have either, actually.
We did the story.
We did the story. That's Kyle. That's how we met. That's how he contacted us. Kyle Dunnigan was in that group. And,
okay.
And so gamers, electronic gamers, and there'll be vendors with cool t-shirts and and with games, and there'll be cosplay comics people. Apparently, on a panel, you ever hear of the 501st?
No.
Apparently, that's a division of cosplayer that Adam Savage from the Mythbusters part of, but they do, they're like nationwide, and they're focused on Star Wars. Okay. They're going to have a panelist, apparently, for the panel. I was told that didn't make the story because I wasn't sure how 501st was supposed to be done. So you're going to have like a voiceover actress from an anime, bunch of anime stuff, including, I don't watch that much anime, my kids do. I know Full Metal Alchemist shows up on the Netflix every now and then.
So they're going to have some sort of celebrity-type people there, at least celebrities in the nerd geek culture.
I think the way you said it, sort of celebrities. I think that you're going to have people there's a guy, if you know anything about Warhammer, which I do not.
Nah,
sorry. There's a guy who does illustrations for it. And so, but I have seen that type of stuff, not that, of like a fantasy and sci-fi illustrations, and it's cool stuff to see.
Yeah.
And so it'll be...
Well, what's neat, too, is it's not just people who like Star Wars.
Right.
It's like a collection of a ton of different kinds of ways to geek out or nerd out.
Well, and the big thing is there's going to be like a three-part brawl. It's going to be Harry Potter kids fighting Star Trek adults and then Star Wars mixture of adults and kids. So it's going to be those three are just going to go at it.
Deathmatch.
There will be blood.
I'll have my wand ready.
Eyes will be poked out.
The Kyle Dunnigan fellow you mentioned, vice president of the convention, he said that Tupelo is ready for an event like this. I mean, I guess he's got a pretty good feel for the community and the people wanting to have something like this. And they'll have good turnout.
Yeah, well, I mean, this has been growing. You know, this is something that California's had for 1,000 years, and it's something that they take place in New York and they take place around. Mm-hmm. I mean, Sheffield, Alabama has one, so if Sheffield, Alabama can pull it off, no offense to Sheffield, Tupelo might be able to pull it off as well.
Oh, yeah.
And just in doing stories and interviewing people, we run across people who are talented people who are geared toward, I mean, Buffy the Vampire Slayer. I mean, people will be dressed like characters from that.
Love Buffy.
Possibly. And Firefly, I mean, the things that kind of are on the fringe of pop culture and sometimes poke through that you know about. Yeah. But then Harry Potter that dominates pop culture and Star Wars. But then, you know, like Doctor Who, which my dad used to watch back in the 80s on PBS on Saturday nights.
Well, you know, it's like nerd and geek culture in a lot of ways has become cool. And it used to be kind of outcasts and... And you know, not the mainstream. It's not really that way anymore.
Now all the Harry Potter kids are beating up the football players,
or they're paying their wages, perhaps. Yeah,
there is that too.
Exactly, they're making the money.
Tickets are $15 in advance. It's not until March 5th, but then they're $20 at the door. Uh-huh. If you want some information on it, you can go to TupeloComicCon.org. Org. I like saying that.
Org.
That's how I qualify as a geek, because I like grammar.
Well, we already knew that. No.
So with no grammar.
And I am too. If it comes down to being a grammar Nazi, I'm a geek.
Yeah. There you go. And also for people who are thoroughly into the culture and want to be a part of this behind the scenes, they are looking for volunteers. So you'll find a contact link at the page again, TupeloComicCon.org, and you can volunteer to help out. And it will be 20 at the door. Oh, also, that night, there'll be a party after 8 o'clock, be music, and it's all family-friendly. Everyone's invited.
We'll be serving butter beer.
You know, maybe. I don't know. Lauren, we'll if she see. Volunteers, can make the butter
beer. She can probably whip up a batch.
Do you have a recipe?
Emma has the unofficial Harry Potter cookbook, so I'll borrow it from her.
Sweet.
Yeah.
Okay.
It doesn't taste very good. It doesn't sound great. Butterbeer doesn't
sound
great.
I've
had
it at the theme park before.
It's like cream soda, basically.
It's like cream soda with some butterscotch in it. It's very sweet.
Yeah.
I'll just have a Pepsi.
No actual beer, unfortunately. But anyway, good stuff, Scott. We appreciate you coming on, bud.
Hey, I'm happy to be first. Who's next? Who's a loser that comes after me?
I think Bobby Harrison.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, well.
He's in Jackson. He can't come get you for saying that.
He'll talk important stuff. Yeah, exactly. This is important stuff for some people.
Oh, it sure is. All right. Thank you, Scott.
Thank you. Mm-hmm.
Hey, I need to remind y'all about the Daily Journal's Entertain Us Movie Contest. We're inviting filmmakers to participate in this cool event. It's open to anyone, and video submissions can run anywhere from 1 second to 5 minutes. So if it's only 1 second, it better be really, really good. But you can just shoot it on an iPhone, camcorder, any device that shoots video. Videos will go head-to-head in a bracket-style competition, like NCAA tournament style, where viewers will get to vote for their favorites. Participants should upload their video to YouTube and email the link to entertainus@journalinc.com. That's entertainus@journalinc.com. Registration is now open and will continue until 11:59 p.m. on January the 20th. There is no registration fee. Again, it's open to anyone except for Daily Journal employees and their families. The ultimate entertainer's winner will get a personalized director's chair and a director's slate, and that winner is expected to be crowned around Oscars weekend. Let's go down to Jackson and visit with Bobby Harrison, our Capitol Bureau reporter. Bobby, how are you doing on this Monday?
All right, Brad. It's a little colder than I like, but I'm doing just fine.
I feel you. It was 18 degrees when I woke up this morning. That's
It's colder up there north than it is in central Mississippi, but it's still kind of chilly here.
Yeah. Well, hey, things are going to start heating up at some point, perhaps, at the Capitol with a new legislative session that has begun. First, let's talk about Governor Phil Bryant starting his second term. His inauguration is Tuesday. He had a cool story in today's journal kind of talking about kind of what set him on this path. Kirk Fordyce, former Mississippi governor, appointed him to a position as auditor. And then he went from there to lieutenant governor to governor. I mean, I don't know. Back then, was governor something he had his sights on at any point?
I used his former deskmate, House member Mark Formby from Pickton, who had known him for a good while. In that story, Brad, I used him as one of my primary sources.
Yeah.
And I asked him the same question. He didn't say that he had his eyes set on being governor, but he said that he was early on. He said he was a deputy sheriff from Hines and Rankin County, but he said early on you could tell that he was somebody who had something special as far as politics. And you can say what you want to about Governor Bryant. You can agree with him, disagree with him, like him or not like him, but he is a excellent politician as far as being able to garner votes and appeal to people, and he's a charismatic man. And I think you got to give Governor Fordyce credit. Governor very seldom gets to appoint someone to finish a term for a statewide elected official, but Steve Patterson, who was had just been elected to his next term as auditor in 1995. There were legal issues. He, part of the plea bargain, he resigned from office. And so, Governor Fordyce had a plum appointment, and there were a lot of options out there for him. And he picked this. Bryant wasn't, as far as legislative circles, he was kind of well known, but he was in his second term from in the state house from Rankin County when he appointed him to the statewide office of auditor. And that was just kind of a springboard. He took advantage of that appointment, he's kind of climbed to the highest levels of state government. And that would be, climax in a way, it culminated with the second inaugural as governor tomorrow.
Yeah, he'll be inaugurated Tuesday, another 4 years, and then he says he'll be done with politics as far as holding office. What do you kind of Bobby, what do you kind of see him hoping to accomplish these next 4 years, and then maybe after that, where do you see him headed?
He says he's done in politics, at least running for office, and, from a practical standpoint, he doesn't have any options. He could he can't run for governor again. He could can't be on the state Supreme Court. He's not an attorney. Directly, he could run again for lieutenant governor, but I don't see him doing that. He could, Thad Cochran's not going to be there forever. He could, run for an open Senate seat, but he doesn't appear to be interested in that. So if he ran for president, he is done in from elected office. And I don't think he's interested in, I don't know if he's got the national name ID to run for president. While he was at lieutenant governor, he taught some out at Mississippi College. I could see him doing that some more, getting a consultant. He's 61, if I recall correctly. So he'll be 65 or so when he leaves office. What lies ahead for him, I'm not sure. I could see him kind of becoming a national figure in terms of being kind of a spokesperson for social conservative issues and just conservative issues in general. But I'm not, it's really anybody's guess what is next for him.
Well, once he gets his inauguration done tomorrow, everybody be sworn in, and maybe will we start seeing some actual legislating going on this week, Bobby, or are they going to still kind of ease into it?
Well, the problem is, we we still don't have any committee members. No committee assignments been made. Until you have committee assignments, it's very hard to have legislating being done. It seems that both Speaker Philip Gunn in the House and Tate Reeves in the Senate are kind of holding off on making those appointments until there's an election challenge in the House, an election challenge in the Senate, and it seems they may be sort of waiting until those election challenges are settled, and we know exactly who the members. There's one contested election in the Senate, and the one in the House is really important in the sense that the incumbent, Bo Eaton, who has been seated, but he's being contested by Mark Tullis, the Republican, and Bo Eaton has a lot of seniority, which means that he would be, if he is a member of the House, would be a member of, by his seniority, he would have a spot on either the Appropriations Committee or the Ways and Means Committee, which are, of course, are the two most important committees in the House. And so if he's seated, that would mean he would be on those committees. So it's kind of hard for the Speaker to make the appointments until he knows whether Eaton is going to be the member who would have taken one of those Monday committee spots, or whether Tullis, the freshman from Raleigh, Republican, who would, of course, would not be on one of those Monday committees by most likely. So it's kind of the Speaker is it's kind of hard for him to make the committee assignments until that's decided. In the Senate, it would be a little bit easier for the Lieutenant Governor because every member of the Senate is either a member of one of the two Monday committees. But it appears they both are waiting for those election challenges to be decided. In each chamber, special committees have been formed to examine those challenges and make recommendations to the full chamber, and the full chamber will vote on whether to seat in one of the two members in each chamber, or theoretically they could call for a special election in either chamber. So it may be a little while before before the committee assignments are done. I can see it being done as late as Friday of this week, maybe even next week.
All right. Well, good stuff, Bobby. Appreciate the updates. Y'all follow Bobby on Twitter at BobbyHarrison9, and have a good one.
All right. Appreciate it, Brad.
And if you want to hear more from Bobby Harrison, don't forget about the webcast that we do with him now each Monday during this legislative session. And we'll have a new one this afternoon around 2 o'clock. It'll be live at djournal.com. And if you miss it, you can watch the replay. And again, we'll do this every Monday while the legislature is in session. Time now for today's news memo, and for more on these stories, read the Daily Journal or visit djournal.com. Large steel guitars created to honor Elvis soon will return to downtown Tupelo. The 16 large structures have been in storage while construction along Main Street was completed. They are expected to be returned around June, said downtown Tupelo Main Street Director Debbie Brangenberg.
Brangenberg?
Uh-huh. Okay, I almost messed that up, Debbie. Sorry. The guitars were the brainchild of Tupelo School District art teacher Kit Stafford and were painted by school children.
Mississippi State University is expected to approve a university policy change this month to prevent the use of hoverboards in residence halls.
Marty McFly would not approve.
The proposed change is due to safety concerns. Mississippi State's Executive Council will meet January 25th to consider the measure. The boards can be a fire hazard, university officials said, which is true because they're blowing up.
Yeah, that's sitting there. Need to work on that technology.
Literally and figuratively.
Yeah. Yes. Former pharmacist and ex-Lee County School Board member Jim Bain has petitioned a federal court to end his probation almost a year early. Bain pleaded guilty in December 2013 to selling the painkiller hydrocodone without a prescription. He was sentenced by Chief U.S. District Court Judge Sharon Acock to 6 months in prison, 2 years probation, and fines and restitution of more than $10,000. He filed a motion in federal court in Aberdeen on January 4th, asking that his probation end early.
Every classroom in the Lee County School District soon will have its own wireless access point. Each school also will have its own robust Wi-Fi network. The district's federal funding request to expand Wi-Fi district-wide was approved in November. Superintendent Jimmy Weeks said if every student in the district got on a device at the same time, the district's new infrastructure could handle it. So I know it's Shannon has Wi-Fi, right?
That's right. Yes. Shannon was first from a grant, and uh-huh. then they added the other two schools from another grant they got.
That's really neat.
And so this federal funding will allow them to do all the other schools.
Good.
Okay.
Well, now I'm going to tell you guys about Thrive. Thrive Marketing is a full-service digital marketing company located in Tupelo, Mississippi, providing websites, search engine optimization, social media management, email, and text messaging services for local businesses.
Okay, Lauren, now you're the interview subject and co-host.
Oh, my gosh.
Can you handle that?
I think so.
Double duty. Well, you had the In Focus. It was your turn this Monday for the In Focus photo essay that we do every week with you, Thomas Wells, Adam Robinson, taking turns on that. And it's time we got to shoot the Aquatic Center, which is a place we've shot several times before, but usually it's like at an event.
Yeah.
And, of course, when it opened, we shot it. So kind of what was your approach this time to shooting something you've probably shot in the past?
Well, I think it's such a – it's become – it's only been open for – well, it grand opening December 2013. So
about 2 years, basically.
Yeah, but I feel like it's become a big cornerstone in the community.
Yeah.
Since it's been opened, it's just tons of people use it, and it's you hear about, like I said, you hear about it when there's a big meet or different things. But I talked to Amy Kennedy, the director there, who is awesome and really helpful with all this. But she was like, "Oh yeah, Tuesday we have multiple." Like water aerobic classes and water, like aquatic Zumba classes. And then the high school students come in to swim. And then we have the shockwave, the youth like swim team comes in. And every morning we have lap swimmers and, you know, all this. And, you know, I'm like, wow, that's a really big day. You know, like it's busy every day and it's used by the community like every day of the week.
And I forget how much it costs to build it.
I don't remember.
Either one of y'all recall off the top of your head.
Yeah.
Obviously, it's a lot of money, but it seems like Tupelo's getting its money is worth out of it.
Definitely.
Yeah.
It was really neat to see, you know, be there throughout the day, too, and see all the different people, like all different ages, too, from like little kids up to, you know, everybody is using this pool. So I thought it was really neat. And I even got to go behind the scenes and see what kind of goes into the pool care and talk to the lifeguards. And
that was interesting. You got to, speak with Jane Tonis, who's like a certified
pool operator. She's the pool manager. Yeah.
So you have to you have to get certified to operate something this large.
Yeah. I know. And she gave me the number of the gallon size of the pools. And I think it's in the caption.
Yeah, it's in one of these pictures. It's 655,648 gallons.
For the big
pool. For the large pool.
Yes.
Yeah.
And there's two pools. So.
Yeah, two pools. So, yeah, that's, I mean, that's probably a full-time job. She's got to keep all the pH balances right and
check
the chlorine. And
levels
everything.
Of everything and temperature and all this. And it was really neat to see kind of going throughout and spending a whole day there. I just wanted to do like a day at the Aquatic Center, you know. So, it was a really neat story. Maybe you want to go swimming.
And as a photographer, I'm sure I would think that it's kind of fun to shoot water. Or shoot at pools. It seems like you can see, come
careful.
Up with some really... Yeah, but it seems like you can come up with some... I've seen some of the coolest photos I've seen is of people swimming in a pool.
Mm-hmm.
You get that water to
just right.
Splashing just right or whatever.
Uh-huh.
Yeah,
It's a challenge. It's a photographic challenge because, you don't want to drop your camera in the pool.
Obviously.
So.
Yeah. There was one picture you took. It almost looks like you're underwater when you take it. Was there a place you could... Take a picture through a thing? Was that some kind of effect you did?
I had my camera in a bag and stuck the lens like right down into it, just like a little bit.
Just into the water a little bit. Okay.
Which is a gamble, but.
Well, hey, you gotta take risks for your art.
I think there's a photo gallery online, too, of all the rest of the photos that didn't make it onto the page.
Yeah, we got all the photos in, even the ones that didn't make it in the paper. You can check them out at djournal.com today, so. It's good stuff, Lauren.
Thank you. It was fun being there for the day.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, before we move on, let's remind y'all about the other podcasts that we have. Coming up Wednesday, we've got Prep Rally with myself and Gene Phelps. We'll talk high school sports from the area, and right now it's basketball season, so I'm going to be talking a lot of hoops. You can listen on iTunes, on your podcast app, or at preprally.djournal.com. And on Thursday, look for a new episode of Double Coverage with Parrish Alford and Logan Lowry, talking Ole Miss and Mississippi State sports. And also, you can listen to that on iTunes, your podcast app, or doublecoverage.djournal.com. Okay. What are you smiling at over there, Lauren?
Nothing.
You're smiling at something on your phone.
Silliness.
Okay. Well, we've got plenty of silliness right here.
Yeah.
Yes. That's what they call a segue. it's time for crime reports. This is where you ask me, what do we have, Lauren?
What do we have?
No, I get to read them. You get to ask me and react.
Okay. What do we have, Brad?
glad you asked, Lauren. We have some really good stuff today. start off with this one. It's a humdinger. A man said a female friend visited him at his North Church Street home. She hugged him and immediately left. He believes that while she hugged him, she took $300 from his wallet that was in his back pants pocket.
Oh, my gosh.
Is that not just cold?
That's like, you hear about that in like movies from in New York. Like
oh, yeah.
People like,
she comes, you say that's so fake.
Taking your wallet.
I'm just trying to walk through this guy's mind process. I'm imagining that he likes this girl secretly, so this just makes it funnier for me. Mm-hmm. So she's coming over. Yeah. He's like, oh, she's coming over. She's coming to see me.
Oh,
comes
come
up and hugs
hug.
Him. He's like, she hugged me. She likes me. Oh, she stole my money. That's this cold lady.
Mm-hmm.
Man.
Former friend.
What?
Former friend. No.
Former friend, yeah. Former. Not asking her out on a date, I'll tell you that much, unless she's paying. A Gun Club Road woman said someone stole a package from her mailbox. Tracking information showed it was delivered into her mailbox on December 28th at 12:28 p.m., but she never received the two Duran Duran CDs that were not released, but part of a special VIP ticket package.
Wait, really?
That yeah, was... just right at the end, they throw in the Duran Duran.
Duran Duran?
They're back together and have a new album,
oh,
apparently.
Oh, yeah.
And touring. I'm
very excited about it. No, sure.
They're like really old.
Well, I've read that sometimes people, like the, it, was it FedEx, did you say?
Yeah, didn't say. It just said
but
package.
They'll like hide packages in like a place so people don't take them, but. Yeah. Then you can't find them. So, I don't know.
They don't tell you where they hid
it. Yeah, they don't tell you where they
hid it. It's on the roof, sir. It's where we put it so no one would get it. It's in your chimney.
Here's a treasure map. They leave the treasure map in your mailbox. And...
Duran Duran. Man, when I was in elementary school, they were the bomb. Hungry Like the Wolf.
I love Duran Duran. I grew up with my parents.
Okay.
Their 80s were...
They'll say that. I'll say they're 80s kids.
Well, they graduated in 80.
They're older than me.
82, high school, in 81, 82. So.
And what year did you graduate high school?
2007.
So I graduated in 94, so I'm right between you and your parents.
Oh,
so
yeah.
I
my Aunt
old.
Colleen graduated in 89.
Yeah, I feel
so
really old
she's
now.
Like,
thanks.
You're like my aunt's age.
Thanks,
she's
Mark.
Older than you. But.
Yeah. Yeah. Well.
She's I'm 45 her, this year.
I'm in my 40s as well.
And
so.
Yeah, you're 40 now.
Okay, kid.
Sorry. Anyways, next one.
Okay, let's move on. A Drive 384 Shannon man said he saw a woman holding a puppy and a beer walking on his property around 3:30 p.m. Deputies found the highly intoxicated woman leaning against the back wall of the house. She was given a ride to the jail.
That's really all you need in life is a puppy and beer.
Right.
I thought this was America. I mean, if I want to spend my afternoon walking around with a beer and a puppy, I don't see what the big deal is. Maybe I'm a little drunk,
there
whatever.
There is no big deal.
Okay.
Maybe
the, just do it on your own property next
yeah,
time.
Yeah, well, maybe so.
Maybe the puppy reported her.
Could be.
Never mind.
What did they do with the dog? Yeah, I want to know what they did with the dog. And didn't say. Poor thing. Okay, we got one more. Pretty good, too. From back around New Year's Day. A woman was driving down Enville Road around 2 a.m. on January 1st. She swerved to avoid a deer and hit a tree instead. The woman smelled of alcohol and had slurred speech. The officer noticed a bottle of whiskey in the floorboard.
Ooh.
At the hospital, the officer asked her how much she had to drink. And she replied, I had enough. Happy New Year. Expletive. Fill in the blank there. I really wish I could, like, if we didn't have a rating, I would use my imagination to fill that in.
Uh-huh.
I don't want to lose our rating. She was cited for DUI, open container, careless driving, no proof of insurance.
I mean, good thing she didn't hit somebody else.
Yeah, I know.
Jeez.
Better the tree.
Didn't kill herself. Jeez.
Yeah, so yeah, that's man. New Year's. People get even stupider than
yes,
normal.
Yes, yes.
Don't they? So that's your police reports. People walking around drunk with puppies and...
Saying expletives to police officers,
yes,
officers of the law.
And angry about their Duran Duran CD that
yeah.
they didn't get.
I mean, that's some... I'd be mad if I didn't get that package, too.
And expensive hugs.
It had to be expensive. And the hug, that's like the worst one.
Yeah.
That's just mean.
An expensive
yeah, you go
hug.
From, like, getting your hopes up.
I mean, I love hugs, but I don't love them enough to...
It's also weird that they just hugged and then she was like, bye.
She just, like, showed up, hugged. Oh, hey, good to see you. Gotta go.
Bye.
Gotta dash.
Gotta go.
Okay. We'll
yeah.
be coming over again anytime soon. So that's the crime reports, and I guess that's the show,
yeah.
Pretty much. Yeah.
Yeah.
Good stuff, Lauren. Thanks for filling in for us.
Thanks.
Today,
thanks
and
for
I'm sure you'll be
today.
Filling in again at some point soon, because Derek, again, is out for the next couple of weeks.
Mm-hmm.
But we'll be back on Wednesday.
Yes.
And then again Thursday.
Yes.
Yes. You can follow us on Twitter at DJournalMemo. Send us an email, memo@journalinc.com. Just give us your thoughts or whatever. Remember to check out all the news, sports, and entertainment from around the area at DJournal.com and follow us on Twitter at DJournalNow. I'm on Twitter at Brad Locke with an E. Lauren, you're on Twitter.
Woodlaw2.
There we go. Yeah, in my head, I always think Woodlaw2.
Woodlaw.
Woodlaw.
Two.
It's not Lauren, it's Lauren, so yeah, it's Woodlaw.
That's true. That's true.
I think we went over this the other day about the Twitter handle and how it came
L-A-U.
About.
It's a C-series.
It was your email, wasn't it?
College, yes my college email. Okay.
When I was in college is when I got my first email address.
Oh.
Wow.
That's how old I am.
That's so cute.
Yeah. Now I don't even use that email. I still have that particular email account, but don't use it as a Yahoo account. I might have been in high school.
Yahoo.
I think pretty sure it was college. Yahoo, I know.
We could really go back, do like a throwback and do like instant messenger. Did you guys have instant messenger?
I never really used it. I just didn't use it.
Yeah, I had terrible. I was like 13 when I was starting to do these, which is like cringeworthy, but then like being like, oh, that was my screen name. Aquarius girl 2468.
Lauren just hung her head in shame. If you can't see. Yeah.
Yep.
Hey,
it's
terrible. It's okay.
Then my long running one through like high school and stuff was like Serendipity.
Oh, yeah, I had
1241.
I had silly email address names and such back then too. So
yeah.
That's okay. I didn't even know what email was until high school because my sister, who's a computer nerd, really smart, was using it. Mom's like, I got an email from Joy. She was in college, and I'm like in high school. I'm like, what's email?
Have you seen that video clip of like Katie Couric?
Yes.
And on today's show, be like, what's the at, the or the A with the circle around it?
And like a year or two ago, they did a Super Bowl commercial kind of mocking themselves.
Yep.
Yeah, that's pretty good. Pretty good stuff. All right, we will be back on Wednesday, like I said. So thank you all for listening. For Chris Kiefer, Lauren Wood, I'm Brad Locke. Have a good one.